Okay, my friends, we have successfully made it to the first chapter of my Aim Upon You to Prosper in the 21st Century, Perpetual Profits from Your Own Successful Online Business Audio Training Program. Okay, my friends, and again, this is chapter one, and it's titled, The Fundamentals of Business and Process Planning. Again, this is chapter one, my friends, and it is titled, The Fundamentals of Business and Process Planning. Okay, my friends, listen. Putting together a workable business is a little more complicated than setting up a website, coming up with a catchy name, and designing an eye-catching logo. Not that all three of these are not important. They are very important, actually. But regardless of what some of those business-in-a-box online offers tell you, they are not the sum total of what you will need to address. Okay, listen. In this section, we will get into the meat of the setting of your goals, developing of your policies and procedures, and in general, laying a solid foundation for the operation of your online business. Now, my friends, one point to keep in mind as you read through this information, or in this case, as you listen to this information in this audio training program, a business is just that, a business, which means just about everything you read here or listen to here will also apply if you want to build your operation into something that functions offline as well as online, okay? In other words, you are about to get a two-for-one with this outstanding audio training program, okay? Now, let's get started with something that far too many entrepreneurs try to do without. And my friends, my perpetual progress, that is a working business plan, okay? Now, my friends, creating a business plan. Okay, listen. One of the easiest ways to understand the idea of a business plan is to think of it as your roadmap to reach all of your goals. More than just about any other document, your business plan helps to set the tone and pace of your operation. And parts of the business plan will be somewhat broad, while others will be highly specific. There are good reasons for this. Now, when it comes to the broad sections of the business plan, it is important to think of these as the places in the operation where you have some room to be creative, okay? Now, circumstances may require that you respond in a different way to this component from time to time. Unlike set policies and procedures that are more or less permanent, these broader sections serve more as general signs pointing in the right direction, without making it necessary to follow another highly defined course of action. You see, my friends, these types of sections as the room in your business for your spirit to fly. Again, see these types of sections as the room in your business for your spirit to fly, for your spirit to soar, okay? Now listen, at the same time, other portions of your business plan will be highly specific in nature, okay? And you need these, especially if you are the type that thinks of yourself as a visionary. And being a visionary, being the essence of a good business. My friends and perpetual progress pursuers, the bottom line is that any successful business needs both style, for example, the visionary's vision, and substance, which is the practical processes that allow you to operate your enterprise or your business successfully, okay? And listen. Even if you despise rules and regulations, decide that you are going to get over it, okay? Listen, just like a plane needs a runway to get off the ground, you need a solid base of operation to launch all of those high-flying ideas of yours. Now, some people hear the words business plan and proceed to freeze up. The task of drafting one seems to be more than ever, correction, the task of drafting one seems to be more than they can possibly handle. However, the very fact is this, you do need one. And there is nobody better qualified to know what you actually want to do and how you actually want to get it done, how you want to do it, okay, than yourself. And you can do it, even if you are scared to death of such official arguments. Let me put you in rain real quick. Listen, fear is nothing more than a fake exhibit. It is an artificial reality. You understand that? Knowledge eradicates fear and ignorance. Because, matter of fact, fear is an offshoot of ignorance and naivety. Capisce? Now, listen. So the easiest way to draft a balanced and working business plan is to get comfortable with each of the several aspects of the plan, flat out. And in fact, you may want to think about drafting the plan in sections, with each section addressing one of these aspects, okay? See, that way, The task may seem less fearsome, and since you accomplish it in small bits rather than trying to do the whole thing all at one time. Now, my friends, let's look at the individual components of a good working business plan. First up, the executive summary. Now, my friends, and perpetual progress pursuers, the executive summary is pretty much what it sounds like. Here you are going to sum up the intent and the purpose for or of your operation in a relatively small amount of words. See, this is not where you get into the specifics of how you are going to reach your goals, but it is a place to put forth enough information to make the whole idea attractive, okay? Now, ever notice the teasers that you see at the movies before the show starts? Now, in a way, those teasers are a lot like an executive summary. You get a taste of something that is to come. If the teaser is effective, you get just enough information to place within you an appetite for more, okay? See, the same is true with an executive summary. You include enough data to make whoever is reading the summary think that this is worth looking into further, okay? And make them say, hey, you know what? I want to know more, okay? Now, think of your executive summary as a way of revealing the very essence of your overall plan. Without giving away too many secrets of how your business will ultimately be a success. Now, things to consider including in your executive summary might be basic statement of purpose. What is it you plan on selling? And what market are you targeting? Do you even plan on delivering the best product or service in the industry? And how long do you think it will take to reach your goal of being the very best? In general, how will you operate? For example, do you plan on being primarily an online business, or do you envision having a brick and mortar operation as well? Note, to help your company gain a strong online business presence, check out Internet Business Manifesto. Okay, now listen. In very few words, what ideals or attributes are present that will lead to reaching your goals? Remember, my friends, that an executive summary does not have to provide full and complete answers to all these questions. Rather, the summary sets the stage for all of these questions to be answered briefly now, but addressed in greater detail later. So, if you need some ideas to get you started, Google the term executive summary, and you will immediately pull up a bunch of actual executive summaries, which you can use as your starting point. But don't feel that you have to mimic everything you see. After all, this is about your hopes and goals and not someone else's. Okay, now, next up, your business's description. The business description. Now, with the executive summary in place, you can move on to the business description. Now, unlike the summary, which is somewhat broad, the business description will be much more detailed and specific. One thing to keep in mind is that your description is not just about your company. It is also about the industry that your company will be a part of. More specifically, it is about how your company will function within that industry. And to that end, you have to get into some specifics about the current state of the industry or niche and how your company will relate to that state. Also, here's some things to keep in mind as you draft your business description. My friends, you must include explanatory information about your niche. This can include some background information on your niche, such as the number of competitors within your niche and the size of those competitive firms. Also, you will want to relate the status and the prospects within your niche to your new business. In other words, you want to define the viability of your new business's entry into this new marketplace and describe in detail the level of value that your products will provide and which niche your products will be filling and how will you establish your space in the marketplace in relation to the current status of the industry. Also, you must identify some of the general ways in which your company and products will properly position itself to take full advantage of the potential changes within your niche or industry and firmly solidify your industry market share. Also, you will define the underlying structure of your business. This is where you will begin to describe the type of business that you will operate. And also, will the business function as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, an S corporation, or a C corporation, or a limited liability corporation? See, my friends, this knowledge is for when you are required to state the type of business structure that you will be utilizing. Okay. Also, you want to identify how you plan to generate revenues and profits. Obviously, this will involve your general strategy for setting your products, programs, and services, but you would definitely need to be more explicit when revealing the details of your sales process. Now, discuss the nature of your products, their intended uses, and why consumers would be attracted to your product lines, and choose your products and programs over your competitors. You'll also want to describe here in this section what your main avenue of presentation to the general public will consist of. Will you rely on your website solely to sell your products, or do you envision setting up an agent program or possibly a store or two? Now, provide some general details on marketing and sales, but keep it simple. You will address both of these aspects later on in your business plan. Now, my friends, like your executive summary, your business description is meant to pave the way for the information that is to follow. And you can use this to begin formulating a more specific image of your company. But don't use this section as the place to tell all. Instead, see it as improving the foundation you created with the summary and making what it is to follow, and making rather what is to follow rather logical and interrelated. Okay, now let's begin to get more specific and talk about specific marketing strategies. Okay, again, now in this section we'll deal with marketing strategies for your brand new online enterprise. Now, one of the first things that you are going to have to discover is the major difference between marketing, public relations, and sales. Now, while they all are essential in the creation and maintenance of any successful enterprise, they each play a different and very distinct role. True, sometimes the lines between these three functions can often become blurred. Salespeople often aid in the marketing process, and marketers often engage in sales. Both can provide an avenue that lead to either good or bad public relations. However, in order to really get into the marketing aspect, you must separate the three for now, okay? Now, my friends, marketing is defined as a process of developing the outlets and tools that will be used down the road to create a public image and sell products. It is marketers who develop the basic tools that fuel the imagination and creativity of both public relations and your sales efforts. My perpetual pride was pursued. A better definition for marketing, my friend, will be the J. Abraham's definition of marketing, with which he states, marketing is the continual educating of the customer for the lifetime of the customer on the benefits and the self-serving advantages that the prospect or client gets from the purchasing of your product or service. It is the intelligently formulated process. Again, it is the intelligently formulated process of increasing their desire for your product, program, or service. It is the strategic process of bringing them to closure of the desired object. Marketing is truly giving the client or prospect the reason to discriminate or choose your product over another's product or service. So therefore, my friends, without marketing, you will have a weak sales and public relations effort at best. Okay, listen. Here are a few things to keep in mind when it comes to identifying your basic marketing strategy in your business plan. First up, you must identify your primary target market. That is, which specific group of people within a demographic are you targeting for customers and clients? These individuals must need, want, and appreciate the value that your product, program, or service is providing. Knowing who to sell to is paramount if you plan to succeed in your business endeavor, flat out. By knowing this vital information, you'll be able to effectively define how you will go about using the various marketing techniques, tactics, and resources, such as press releases, social media, direct mail, etc. Also, you want to identify a couple of secondary markets as well. You may not think of yourself as a marketer, but look at it this way. As a customer, you know what catches your eye and what does not. So start with ideas that have proven attractive to yourself in the past and see how they could be included in your marketing plan. You may find this process a lot easier than you think. Example, you may sell hand lotion for women, but have you thought about supplying hand lotion for nurses in hospitals? Both male and female nurses often use lotion to deal with dry hands. Also, you'd also want to describe how you plan on reaching your primary and secondary target markets. Will you make use of direct mail pieces such as postcards or information packages, or will you use online traffic generation methods? You plan on using media advertising in a PR campaign? Perhaps you plan on using content and article marketing strategies to generate traffic. Provide support for why these methods will work in aiding you in effectively marketing your enterprise. You may cite data relevant to companies who employ similar methods, or note that your approach is somewhat new and different for your industry. Now, working through why the approach will work can make a huge difference in how you end up structuring the operational aspects of your company. And do not overlook any possible marketing outlet in the development of your strategy, even if your focus is being a wholly or totally or mainly an online company. That still does not mean you can't use any of the traditional marketing outlets that are available, okay, like postcards, magazine ads, classified sections, profiles in business journals, ads in trade magazines, listings in local chambers of commerce, participation in trade shows and industry conventions, okay? Listen. Think of marketing as another one of those foundations you lay so that other good things can happen and transpire later within the process. Also, keep in mind that your marketing strategies can be somewhat fluid. That is, you do not want to have specific directions, but you also want some room to be creative with how you implement those channels. You may not think of yourself as a marketer, but look at it this way. As someone who purchases goods and know what catches your eye and what does not. So start with ideas that have proven to be effective for you in the past and see how they could be included within your marketing plan. And you may find this process a lot easier than you thought. Next up, competitive analysis. How does your business compare to the competition? Again, competitive analysis. How does your business compare to the competition? My friends and perpetual progress pursuers, an essential part of any business plan is getting into the nuts and the bolts, the nuts and the bolts of what is going on with the competition and how that relates to your business. Knowing what the competition is up to can really help you with your development as a company, and it's a part of your analysis of other companies within the industry. You'll want to look at the following. Who are the leaders in the market or markets you're targeting? And now, how long have they been around? What is the market share of each of these industry leaders? And is the market share consistent with one from 1 year to the next? What is the scope of operation for the competition? Do they accomplish everything from a single point of presence, or are they found in a number of different places? Also, what methods do they employ to get the word out about their products? And are any of these companies so entrenched that their product names have become synonymous with the actual product the way that Kleenex has come to be synonymous with the hand tissue? Now, along with strengths, what are some of the weaknesses of the competition? Perhaps one or more is so confident on their control of the market that they rely on the same marketing approach they have been using for decades. Perhaps they do not have a good reputation for customer care. Knowing their weaknesses is just as important as knowing their strengths. Okay? Also, as you can see, the first part of your competition analysis is all about finding out everything you can about your competitors. Now, there are a few good reasons for this activity. You might learn a trick or two that will translate well into your business. Okay, your business plan. You can benefit from getting a handle on what is already working and how long it has worked. Also, you have a chance to get a better idea of where your company will fit into the wider structure of the industry. Now that you have learned who you are up against and what they have done to become such powerhouses, you too can get into the third aspect of the competitive analysis, comparing your company to the competition. My friends, this will involve, number one, identifying strategies and procedures the big boys use that will translate well into your business model. Two, determining how to adapt these procedures and strategies so that they fit the scale and scope of what you will accomplish. Three, demonstrating how you will make use of all of this data to establish a competitive edge by either meeting demand in a more customer-friendly manner of filling or fitting rather a demand that is not directly addressed or met by the main competition. Let me read number three again. Listen. Demonstrating how you will make use of all this data to establish a competitive edge by either meeting demand in a more customer-friendly manner or filling a demand that is not directly addressed or met by the main competition. Four, making sure your organization is not emulating any areas of weakness. If the competition doesn't distribute to smaller stores, consider including that in your scheme. Or if they make it hard to talk with a representative, make sure your customer care structure is very easy to use. Five, compare your selling methods to those of the competition. The idea is to show that you can reach people with equal ease and offer them a viable alternative to the products that they have been using for years. Also, keep this in mind. There is no such thing as an ideal marketing strategy. A lot of the approach you take to this industry aspect of the business plan will depend upon your specific industry. And this is one of the reasons why this competitive analysis is absolutely paramount, okay? You get to see what does work and what does not work within the context of your specific industry. Now, as a part of the analysis as well, try to get as deep into the facts and figures about the competition as you can. Not everything you learn has to go into this section of your business plan, but the more you know, the better equipped you will be to create specific strategies and position your company for true success, okay? Now, look for information on the competition from several different resources. First resource, Consumer Reports Publications. You can get some great information here about product comparisons and the general perception of the integrity and success of your competitors. Also, you can find this kind of information in newspapers and magazine articles. Often you can access these with online searches. Items about who is coming, who is going, and what just got developed will go a long way in helping to form an accurate assessment of your competitors. Message boards. The internet has made it possible to create forums and message boards that focus on all sorts of things, including what consumers think about products and the companies that make them. Also, company profiles, often found on various business sites. These are great sources for history on the company and its current holdings. Also, earning reports. Many companies now post these on their websites or archive them at other online locations after the shareholders' meetings are finished for the quarter. And you can find out some useful stuff by checking those out as well. Also, archive conference calls. See, meetings are often now recorded and made available for replay to the general public via a website. And also, take the time to listen to the latest conference call and make note of the very types of questions being asked that can be very telling. Again, you don't necessarily want to fill your competitive analysis with every factoid you uncover, but they can be very helpful in deciding what to include and how to compare and contrast your company to the competition. Now, with your analysis now complete, you can move on to the next phase of your business plan, which is the design and development of your product line. Now, my friends, we'll dialogue in this section about what you need to know about design and development. Okay, my friends, listen. My perpetual progress pursuit is the key to your long-term success as a BO, a business owner, will be the development and design of your products, programs, and or services, and the level at which they will resonate with your targeted client base. While it is true that some successful business people have come up with some great products by mixing up a few ingredients at the kitchen table, be prepared to not be among those select few. Designing and developing an attractive and perennially useful product takes hard work, and often it also takes a lot of resources, plenty of planning, and some type of facilities to come up with a product line that clicks. It does not happen overnight. Because you have already done your homework, you have some idea of where there are needs in your selected markets that could use some attention. You may also have some general ideas for products that will meet those needs. Now, what you lack at this point is the specifics of what the products will be and how they will work, and what it will take to produce the amount of profit. Do not let this overwhelm you. For every successful business owner has to answer these questions before making a name for him or herself. Now, To help you get started with this process, though, here are a few tips, okay? Number one, refine your idea of what type of products could find a home in your markets of choice. Again, number one, refine your idea of what type of products could find a home in your markets of choice. These may be products that perform a couple more functions than similar products on the market today. They could also be a new formula that is focused directly on those functions and doesn't directly compete with other products already being sold. By firming up your product idea, you create a foundation to work with. Two, gather data on development cost. What would it take to start researching this new product idea? Do you need a lab? A big soup pot? How about ingredients? Start getting prices for everything you need to work on the product itself, right down to the cost of pencil and paper to make notes. Three, obtain everything you need for the product's development. If you are starting your business on the side while you work a day job, this may involve purchasing everything over a period of time. That is okay. Just have some place secure to store the equipment and ingredients until you are ready to do what? Begin. Number four, set up a work area, if at all possible. Avoid using a room that is already in use for other tasks. But if you must use the kitchen to start working on the recipe for your product, at least make sure you can put everything away in one place when you are done for the day. Five, have some patience. You probably will have to go through several rounds of development before you hit on just the right combination. Every failed design is just one more step toward perfection. Next up, properly designing and developing your products for perpetual profit generation. Okay, listen. Of course, in order to make the best use of the resources you have already collected, you will need to have a plan. That is something that many would-be inventors and entrepreneurs overlook. Instead, they choose to wing it. Sure, it can work, but it also can lead to a lot of failures before success is finally realized. Simply put, you need a development process plan. Here are some ideas that will help you formulate a workable plan. First up, set aside specific times to work on your project. Sure, it looks romantic in the movies to dedicate oneself to the pursuit of developing a great product around the clock, finally arriving at a miracle product just before physical collapse. But homie, this isn't real life. Time away from work often yields fresh perspectives that will make your time in the lab that much more productive. Also, establish process flow that includes basic assembly, testing, and evaluation. For example, if you are writing a new software widget that performs some IAM task, you will want to create a prototype and pass it around to friends, and then ask for feedback. Document your work. This is extremely important. Using widget analogy, imagine that prototype 14 was close, but not quite there. Now, around the time of prototype number 20, an idea for a new widget comes to mind that would give number 14 just the added appeal you want. Problem is, you didn't save the programming for widget number 14. Tough luck. See, make comprehensive notes and hang on to them. Okay, next up, create a working model that will do everything you want. Don't be that concerned with appearance at first. That will come next. My friend, see, essentially what you want to do, you want a logical chain of events that has a good chance of leading to the development of a sellable product. And at the same time, you want a process that will allow you to document every step of the way. Even failed attempts should be documented fully. You never know when you will strike gold by pulling some of the best elements from several failed attempts. Next up, in this section, we're going to dialogue about how to successfully design your products and programs for perpetual profit generation. Okay? Now, once you've put together a working prototype of your product, you can advance on to the design element of the creative process. Let me say that again. Once you have put together a working prototype of your product, you can advance on to the design element of your creative process. Think of Design as coming up with that outer shell that will make your products not only functional, but also appealing to the eye. Even if you are simply writing a report, you'll want to make sure the e-cover and the accompanying sales page look attractive. Without these elements, your ebook will fail even if the ideas it contains are fresh and useful. Note, e-covers are not easy to create. For those who are unfamiliar in using graphic design programs, and graphic designers can charge $100 or more for just one e-cover. To create beautiful e-covers without spending a fortune or spending a lot of time learning to use a graphic design program, check out my e-cover creation software site. Now, appearance cannot be underestimated these days. We live in a world where customers make purchasing decisions more rapidly than in any other period of time. Specifically, one quick look is enough to turn a customer off if they don't like what they see. It won't matter that your product is better in every other way if it doesn't attract the eye. You will be dead in the water. Again, aesthetics, aesthetics, aesthetics. Even digital products have to look good in order for them to sell well, no matter how good or different the information is inside of them. So to help you make your digital products look more appealing so that you will sell more of them, consult with my Empowering to Prosper in the 21st Century, Perpetual Profits from the Creation and Promotion of Valuable Information Products, okay? Now, to this end, you will need to develop a design process that will create a visual appeal that complements the function of your product. Now, here are some ideas. One, engage in some visualization of your own. What types of images can come to mind when you think about the environment where the product will be used? One, say it again. Engage in some visualization of your own. What types of images come to mind when you think about the environment where the product will be used? Does the product itself conjure up some specific images in your mind's eye? Now, and consider this inspiration for what is to come. Two, sketch design ideas. Don't worry if you are not an artist. Sketch anyway. What you want to do is figure out what type of outer shell will house your marvelous product to its best advantage. No matter how far-fetched an idea may be, sketch it out anyway. See, one or more elements of even the craziest ideas may be helpful down the road. Three, save those sketches. Discard nothing. Remember, when you were trying different recipes for the product itself, same thing applies. In older rejected design may later become viable again with a few simple changes or additions. Four, build a few prototypes of the best designs. Pay attention to the color, the size, and the texture. Take your cues from what you know about your target market. Again, take your cues from what you know about your targeted markets. Five, test drive your designs. Share them with folks you can trust, or even consider setting up a display at a public place and asking for feedback from passersby or site visitors. Make sure to document why or why not they like a particular design for the shell. Of course, there is more than just designing the housing or artwork for your product. There is no need to think packaging for the product. Hold on. There is no need to think packaging for the completed product. There's no need to, huh? Hold on. Of course, there is more than just designing the housing, or artwork for your product. There is no need to think packaging for the completed product. Often, this can be just as important as the right shell or housing. There is a need. Not no, don't need. There is a need to think about packaging for the completed product. Often, this can be just as important as the right shell or housing. Packaging is separate, a separate component from the product housing. Think of it this way. A perfume bottle is a housing for your new perfume, but there is a good chance the housing is also encased in a box. The box is the packaging and not the bottle. Packaging is important for a few reasons, such as it protects the housing. If you have designed a beautiful glass bottle for your perfume, you want it to look great when the customer receives the purchase item. packaging helps to make sure that the product is not scratched, marred, or otherwise rendered unattractive. It provides another way to show off the product. The final appearance of the packaging is one more way to draw the eye of the consumer and pique interest as such, it can serve as a two-punch approach. And it is also practical. You may have designed a housing that is aesthetically pleasing with all sorts of ways and angles. The packaging can be square or rectangular, thus making it easier to stack on display cases or in a warehouse space. At the same time, if a consumer buys several of the products at the same time, they can store them away on a closet shelf with ease. Never underestimate the value of packaging. The product proper design is, of course, the main thing. You can have beautiful packaging and an outer shell that is visually appealing, but if the product is bad, you will fail. Designing attractive packaging will go a long way towards helping you get your foot in the door with new customers. Now, to recap what we have covered in this section. 1. Create a plan for developing just the right product. Keep all your notes. Document every step of every attempt. 2. When you have a viable product, start working on designing the outer shell or artwork. Make it attractive and relevant to the nature of your product. 3. Do not neglect the package aspect of the overall product design. Again, do not neglect the package aspect of the overall product design. A well-designed CD case or box for an actual physical product could significantly increase its perceived value. One final word about product design and development, and that is to exercise patience. Yes, you would love to start work this afternoon and by midnight have a wonderful product that just happens to require a shell you designed in minutes. Forget about that happening. This is real life. Be prepared to put in a lot of hours over an extended period of time. Good products do not just happen overnight. They take time and a lot of trial and error. Besides, patience is a virtue you need to have with any type of business, even an online business. And having the ability to accurately discern between when to move and when to hold suit is one of the most valuable attributes that the 21st century entrepreneur must possess to be a successful business owner. And timing will definitely play a significant role in deciding the success or the failure of your enterprise. Now let that patience begin during the design and development stages and allow that virtue to apply to everything that proceeds forward. Now, day-to-day functions and setting up operations and management functions. Okay, my friend, listen. My perpetual progress pursuers, even if you plan on operating a business out of your home and focusing on an online presence, there is still the need to lay out an operational process and establish management or oversight protocols. Failure to do this will mean that necessary tasks will go undone, and at least until it becomes obvious that something is not right. For example, an important task that needs to be done on a regular basis is gaining new customers and giving support to your previous customers when they need assistance. However, plain phone or email tag can cause your business to become less productive over time because you constantly have to call back or email them to get in touch with them and discuss business or provide support. You can limit this problem altogether by acquiring a project management software and ensure that your business stays on the right track when it comes to productivity and expansion. And of course, your hope is that as the years go by, your business will continue to grow. This growth may be in the popularity and the distribution of your products, or in the expansion of physical facilities and the number of persons who work for the firm. Either way, you still will require a structure for operations and a way to manage that structure. Again, either way, you still will require a structure for operations and a way to manage that structure. Now, let's spend some time looking at the basic operations that will apply with any type of ongoing business concern. First up, production. There must be an organized process in place to manufacture your product. It doesn't matter if you are producing ebooks or lawnmowers. a well-defined production process is required. The process may be very well detailed or very simple, depending on the product and the complexity of producing units at a profit. Raw materials. Whatever is needed to manufacture your product is raw materials. Somebody has to procure these materials and do so in a timely manner. Otherwise, production will bog down and you'll lose money. Accounting. You would need to pay taxes, renew business licenses to maintain payables and receivables, to name a few accounting functions. If you have employees, there is withholding and paychecks to think about. Failure to do so will cripple your operation in no time. Order fulfillment. Even if you are strictly an online company, somebody has to prepare the goods for delivery to the customer in a timely manner. Customers who order and pay for items tend to get a bad taste in their mouths when the product does not show up. This holds true even for PDFs. Now consider these areas to be the foundation of your operational process. But they are by no means the only areas that you need to have in place. Next up, sales and marketing. Two separate but complementary functions, some companies choose to combine them into one area of responsibility, while others keep them separate. You can decide which will work best in your company culture, but make no mistake, you definitely need them both. Customer care, also known as customer service or client servicing. No matter how good you are, there will be a need to communicate with customers and on orders that are not right, questions, and several other common issues. Customers who have trouble getting the attention of someone don't usually hang around. No matter how good the product may happen to be, they'll go somewhere else where they feel appreciated. Next up, public relations, PR. How you are viewed by your business peers and the general consumer market, customer market is important. That is where a solid PR effort will come in. Often, public relations can work hand in hand with marketing and sales to help foster the correct image. One thing that is important to remember is that you not only need to define the basic areas of operation, but also the individual roles that must be played within those processes. Further, somebody has to manage the team who oversees each function. This means creating job descriptions and also establishing a management team. Now, my friends, in this section, we're going to now talk about how to put together job descriptions. Job descriptions are not intended to limit creativity or narrowly define what a person can or can't do as part of the team. In the best of words, a job description establishes a division of labor, ensuring that every task is covered adequately and efficiently. The job description provides the foundation for participation in the company by assigning each person with that job or position specific tasks that aid in the overall success of the company. Here are some things to keep in mind when it comes to drafting a workable job description. The basic description must be clear. No ambiguous or vague ideas about work responsibilities. The more direct the list of assignments can be, the easier it will be for the person holding the position to perform the associated task. The description should always include directions on who to report. In just about every work situation, there will be instances when an employee needs advice, counsel, or instruction to meet a particular set of circumstances that are a little out of the box. Having someone to go to for help is essential. Otherwise, there will be no line of communication, which leads to chaos. While the responsibilities should be clear and specific, they should not be limited. That is, there should always be room for people to step outside the box and assist in other areas if the need arises. This includes managers who should know how to perform the task assigned to their areas and be ready to step in and help if needed. Now, a few words about managers. Speaking of managers, there are a few specific things you want from anyone who is entrusted to oversee a part of the overall operation. Managers are part of a team. Again, managers are part of the team. They do not preside over the folks who do the work. They do facilitate the accomplishment of tasks, step in to help when needed, and serve as the authority when a decision must be made, and in general, make sure things stay on track. Managers provide structure to the work environment. They make sure people arrive and leave on time, ensure materials are in the correct place to do the work, and evaluate the efforts of everyone concerned in the process. Managers work with other managers together. The management team makes sure that the operation process flows consistently from one phase to the next without interruption. And if one manager needs help, the others band together and provide the assistance. And of course, all of the above is an imperfect world. You probably have worked in environments where managers really showed up on the floor, had little to do with employees unless disciplinary measures were required, and in general carried an air of being above it all. But since you are creating your company from the ground up, you have the chance to establish a management process that is in the best interest of the company perpetually. So do it. Even if you operate a business that is only an online entity, you still need to communicate effectively with the managers and workers who help you complete your ebooks, software programs, and the other downloadable products you create. A tool that can help make sure your managers and workers are working effectively towards completing your projects is my Empowering to Prosper in the 21st Century Productivity Accelerator Efficiency Enhancement Software. Now, finding the right people for the right positions. Just like any position in the company structure, you need the right people to function as managers. Ideally, your managers will all possess these essential qualities. First up, leadership. Managers often have to lead by example and by word. This means your manager must be able to command the attention of employees assigned to him or her and be able to support company policies and procedures through the example of personal deportment. The manager must also have good communication skills. This means listening as well as speaking. A manager that is unable to effectively listen to and then communicate with an employee will do your business a lot of harm. Also, the managers have the ability to make tough decisions. Managers have to deal with all sorts of unpleasant tasks, such as rearranging schedules when someone is sick or has to be out of the workplace, and disciplining unproductive or disruptive employees. Not everyone is cut out for that sort of thing. The manager must also have a solid work ethic. Again, the manager must also have a solid work ethic. While needed in any position with the company, this commitment to excellence must be present in any authority figure, but particularly with the authority figure that employees interact with on the daily. No matter how strong your operation process looks on paper, it will fail without the presence of solid management, competent executors. Again, no matter how strong your operational process may look on paper, it will fail without the presence of solid management, regardless of whether you hire a manager, contract one, or whether the manager is you. Having the right people in the right position takes time. The good news is that you are likely beginning your online business either on your own or with a small team of partners. So this provides you with an excellent chance to pick and choose new team members when and as the business begins to expand, and make sure that they are right for the job. Now, some final words about general operations. Now, just as your managers must be able to work together and complement the efforts of each area, the flow of operations in the organization must be logical if you are to maximize the return on your efforts. Logical flow is important for three key reasons. Reason number one, it cuts down on waste. Consider this example from the home. Would it make sense to put the refrigerator in the bedroom? It may be convenient for a quick snack, but it would delay the working of preparing daily meals. In like manner, placing related tasks in the hands of different employees could waste valuable time. Time is money. Thus, waste means less profit on each unit produced. Two, it minimizes frustration with the process. Conscientious employees like to get things done efficiently. Arranging related tasks in order so the production moves easily from one step to the next will make a world of difference in how employees view their work. Number three, it makes tracking productivity much easier. By surveying the progression of the logical steps, it is often easier to see ways to enhance the flow. See, something that is hard to do when related tasks are scattered about with no real order to flow. While this seems like it's so basic, it is sometimes amazing how businesses organize their space. Essential tasks may be conducted by staff who are completely unaware of related tasks, which is known correction, if known rather, could save time and improve cohesive nets. And since you are designing the operations flow, you can avoid this type of thing and make it possible for every step of the process to easily move from one phase to the next with little or no wasted effort. Now, and as you lay out the operation process, keep these ideas in the back of your mind. Keep it simple. Don't waste time trying to dress up the process or unnecessarily complicate it. The less fuss it takes to start, complete, and move on to the next phase, the better off you will be. Make it logical. You may want to try the simple technique, write down each essential function from the acquisition of raw materials to the packaging of a finished unit on individual index cards. Then arrange the cards to reflect a reasonable flow from one task to the next. This will help you define jobs in each department and also help set up the operations floor so time and resources are not wasted. Allow room for adaptation. Circumstances will change and you will need to enhance the basic flow of operation. If there is a logical way to insert a new process or refine an older one and still keep the flow going, you know you are on to a good thing. Remember that while there are no rules that say your operation and process has to be a replica of what others have done in the past, you can learn a lot from how your competitors do things. If possible, take the time to learn more about their operation and process. There is a chance to gain two types of insights by evaluating the operation structure of the competition. First, you might see some things that will work well in your environment and save a lot of time and money. Count this as lucky, since you do not have to reinvent the wheel. At the same time, you are likely to notice some things that you definitely want to avoid. Count this as lucky also, since you would not have to waste time later fixing something that should have been put together properly in the first place. With your concepts for production and general operations in place and your management and general employee ideas formulated, it is now time to move on to an important aspect of getting off the ground and flying for the long haul. Finances. Okay. Now, my friends, in this session, we'll dialogue about money. Funding your business and managing your expenses. Okay, listen. It goes without saying you need money in order to handle the cost of starting up your business. And until the company begins to earn a profit, there is also the need to have some source funds to handle all the expenses that come with operating the various facets of the operation. Now, unless you are independently wealthy, chances are you will need to turn to outside sources in order to acquire the financial capital essential to you getting and keeping your business up and running. Now, as part of your plans for funding, there are essentially three main issues that must be addressed. First, what sources of funding are open to you? Second, what is the sum total of the startup and operational expenses you will need to cover until the company begins to generate enough profit? Last, when do you expect to have enough income to generate that profit? Now, let's take each of these three aspects in turn and explore the options. Okay, sources of funding your business. Now, there are several ways you can go about obtaining the flow of money you need to get started and keep the business moving until it reaches a revenue-generating level. Some are relatively painless, while others could cause a lot of heartburn. Now, here are some examples. You can borrow money. If you have good credit and a good business plan, then you may be able to obtain a loan from your bank. Now, keep in mind that the interest may not be the best, but you can definitely break the loan down into payments that you can manage without putting too much of a strain on the budget. Also, there's crowdfunding, where you can, as an entrepreneur, actually utilize various crowdfunding platforms to be able to have the community with on that piece of virtual real estate to invest in your project, or your idea. Okay. Also, you can also take on a silent partner. Now, there are several variations of this theme. You can go with a partner who pretty much stays out of the operation of the business, but will expect to realize some type of return in exchange for pumping money into the venture. Or you can have a silent partner who is active in the operation of the business but wishes to not be publicly associated with the venture. You can also find a group of investors. You may have such a good idea that you can interest a group of venture capitalists in underwriting your expenses for a period of time. As with other forms of funding, the day will come when you will need to repay the balance with interest in some form. Maybe you may want to pick up another job, work another job, and funnel your earnings into the new business. It is not impossible to keep working at your present job and build your online business as you can afford to do so. Now, this may mean setting up a savings account and putting away money now and then until you have enough to operate for several months with no income at all. All of these approaches have benefits and drawbacks. Some mean you have to move slowly. Others may mean quick cash now, but a financial headache later. You have to decide what type of funding will work best for you and in your situation. Now, the importance of calculating your business expenses accurately. Okay, now of course, it helps if you know how much money you'll need. That is where accurately projecting your monthly operational and related expenses becomes very important. This may not be as easy a task as you think. Now, for purposes of determining how much money you'll need to get the company up and running and remaining functional until enough net profit makes the scene, you should consider these factors in particular. Raw materials. They may not be cheap. Determine how much you will need each month to make your products. Equipment. For an online business, you will need to think in terms of hardware and software to design and maintain the site, host the site, and handle the inbound traffic at the very least. If you are manufacturing a product, there is also a cost for the equipment as well. Technical support. Somebody has to keep computers, servers, etc. up and running. That costs money. Clerical support. Every business has clerical duties to address, even an online business that is ran from the home. This means making sure you have what you need to handle all sorts of little things. Packaging and shipping supplies. Along with courier and postage fees, once the orders are placed, you have to get the goods to your customers. Wages, salaries, and benefits. If you plan on having employees during the startup process, then you will have to pay them. If you want really good employees, chances are you will need to provide some type of benefits, such as health insurance, that does not come cheap. Also, taxes and permits and business licenses. Nobody likes them, but guess what? They are necessary unless you want the government to shut you down. And other miscellaneous expenses. Every business has them. While a broad category, it should never be left off. Even if you think you have planned for every possible expense, budgeting in a slush fund is a smart move. Now, depending on the way you plan on operating, there will be other expenses to consider. Remember, all that research you did as a part of your competitive analysis. If you did it right, then you have some idea of the usual and standard expenses your competition funds each month, and you can mine that data for solid ideas of what you need to be prepared to cover. Income projections. Ultimately, you will want to be operating at a net profit. What this means is that you are able to cover all of your business-related expenses and have a little left over. This is a goal you will work towards. This is the goal you will work towards. In the meantime, you need to project income levels during your startup phase. Essentially, you are setting up. You are setting reasonable goals for income during each month of operation. Obviously, the chances of being profitable right out of the chute are pretty low. But there's also a good chance you will generate some sort of revenue that first month. It may be small and nowhere near equaling your expenses, but it will be there. Project your income based on monthly generated revenue. Again, project your income based on monthly generated revenue. The idea is that as time goes on, you can expect a steady increase in gross income each month. At some point, you will project to break even and finally to generate a net profit. Income projections can be helpful in attracting investors or venture capitalists. They also can help hurt when speaking with your loan officer at the bank. They show that you have a working model of when your company will be profitable and when it can be expected to stand on its own two feet. Of course, this assumes you did not pull the projections out of thin air. Effective income projections mean considering several factors. And these include sale price per unit, marketing conditions, general economic factors, the cost. Do they remain the same, rise or fall as time goes on? Quality. Your products are good enough to attract attention and create a loyal customer base. So don't think that you have engaged in the process of projecting income if you do a quick survey of your setup plan and remark, I should be making a profit in 15 months. All you've done is express a hope. True income projections demonstrate generated revenue figures that are based on verifiable information and not wishes. By this point in the process, you now have laid the groundwork for your business. You know what you will produce, how you will organize the company, what you need in the way of resources, and how long you think it will take to become profitable. The time has now arrived to move on to the intricate details of the workday. This factor is known as process planning.